On the phone now, Gilda Jacobs, who is president and CEO of the Michigan League for Human Services. Good evening, Gilda. How are you?
Hi, fine, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I hope you're still fine during our conversation. When we spoke earlier today, some of the budget bills were still in conference committee and coming out and so forth, and that's all changed now. Everything has been passed by the Senate and the House and heading for the governor's desk for signature. You are very concerned about cuts to, in your words, to the vulnerable people of the state of Michigan.
Absolutely. You know, this budget has some pretty devastating effects on low-income wage earners, poor people, kids, and seniors. There is, as you know, a huge tax cut for businesses. It had to be made up someplace, and, this is how this budget is being balanced. At the very same time that hundreds of millions of new dollars were found, that only a very small portion was used to even offset some of the education cuts. So, I'm not feeling very good about, I'm glad they finished the budget early, but I'm not feeling very good about the final product.
Well, in the cuts, as you said, and I've talked with several people on the show about this, I don't know that we call it surplus money, but with the estimates coming back from that consensus revenue estimating conference, mm-hmm. that there was more available, a lot of people were hoping that some of these cuts wouldn't be necessary or they would make some changes.
Right. I think we all were hoping for that. I heard conversation that it was considered one-time money, but to me it's an indication that the economy in the state is starting to come back, that perhaps the business climate is a lot better than some people went into this budget thinking that it would be, and that's why the governor and a lot of folks from his caucus thought that they needed to have major business cuts. But indeed, we saw the economy is starting to get better in our state. So if it's one-time income, it's only because there is going to be this larger deficit, this larger hole that's being blown in our budget because of these business cuts. So this doesn't make sense to me.
A couple of areas in a letter that you sent out that were of particular concern to you is low-income children and people with disabilities, and in particular the group on the back-to-school clothing allowance. And this may not sound like a big thing, but it is.
Well, sure. I mean, this amounts to $80 per child for tens of thousands of kids. And I want you to think, $80 for somebody who's getting ready to go back to school in the fall really can buy, can buy shoes, can buy several pair of pants, can buy shirts, and just sort of a fresh back to school outfit, several outfits, and that's really important to families, especially there are. Kinship situations where you have relatives that are taking care of kids. So it is bad and it does hurt kids. And kids should be the least hurt by changes in our budget. It's like really for no fault of their own that they are born into poverty.
Well, and there were a couple of changes made in the working of all of this on this particular group of cuts. And it started out with at some point that the cards for back-to-school clothes could only be used at thrift shops. That changed.
Right.
But then this
yep.
huge cut was made from 160,000 kids that would get this down to, to 36,000.
Right. Like 120,000 are losing that $80. Yeah, I mean, to me, that's one of these egregious cuts that shouldn't have happened in this budget, especially when you have, other people who are going to be really inured very, very richly by this change in our tax structure, where, for $80 isn't going to mean a thing to them, but it means an enormous amount to poor kids and their families.
What about the Family Independence Program? They're changing and they're tightening up limitations, so there will be a 48-month lifetime limit, is my understanding.
Right. Well, you know, what's interesting is when I was in the legislature, we actually worked on this legislation, and we did create a 48-month limit, but one that had that gave workers the ability to look at individual cases on an individual basis, that everybody wasn't brushed with the same broad brush. There are extenuating circumstances that have not been addressed in this legislation. For example, you know, there are certain urban areas, let's say Detroit, Flint area, that have way higher unemployment than the normal unemployment for the entire state. Folks that live in those areas can't just pick up and move someplace else or drive someplace else that may have a little less unemployment. I mean, they're not going to drive to Ann Arbor, which is like the lowest unemployment, you know, in the entire state. And we had made an exception for people that lived in those high unemployment areas. Now, I'm not sure what happened in committee today, but up until, you know, those votes, that was totally eliminated. And it, to me, that is a very unfair change in the law.
What one of the other areas that caused some concern, of course, is EITC. This has been much discussed. Mm-hmm. It was saved in form. It went from 20% down to 6%. Were you at least pleased to see that come back? That is, of course.
Absolutely. And honestly, we worked very closely with the administration and with the leadership in the House and the Senate. And I couldn't be more pleased that was preserved in the budget. Now, sure, I wish it was 20%, but I understand that $104 million target that was set up. And, you know, and we told the legislature and we told the governor's office that we wanted to work with them and just make sure that we maximize the amount of people that would still be able to get that credit. So, you know, that to me was a big win that we had in the state. But nevertheless, the safety net has been chipped away slowly. It is, you know, it is eroding in this state at a time when we're not quite ready yet to give up the safety net. You know, what we need to be doing is, if we are going to erode the safety net, at the same time, we have to be investing new dollars into making sure that that our vulnerable people, our working poor, people that have very limited skill sets are given the opportunity to learn to read, fill out an application, get some very basic skills, because I don't want people to just get enough skills so that they can go into another low-wage job. You know, working minimum wage is not going to create taxpayers that have a tax base that are going to be able to pay for the services that you and I need. So, you know, we need to help the administration kind of connect the dots and make sure that workforce development plans are made if we're going to get rid of the safety net in this state.
Well, it's been fast and furious these last few weeks, I guess we'll start to watch how the dust settles now and how it all works when it's in process.
Absolutely, and you know, the governor is all into measurement, and I think we're going to have to measure the results of these policies.
Very good. Well, Gilda, thank you so much for your time this evening. I appreciate
it. Okay. Thank you.